Hello and welcome to the Secret Monkey Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Parthenon Huxley, aka Rick Miller, aka Rick Rock.
Wow, all the names.
We've called it Do the Secret Monkey. Did you realize that?
We have.
Yeah, that's what it says on our podcast. So let's try to keep our brand going here, all right?
I didn't realize
Wow.
we had a
good branding.
We're
Take
branded.
two,
Everything's
guys.
behind us. Hey, Parthenon,
Yes, sir.
obviously you have a book that I am reading, and I'm up to the point where you have gone to Greece. That's it, Electric Light Odyssey. It's marvelous. You can get it practically anywhere, but you can go to his website, which I'll also give a link to. You'll see it below.
Okay.
And I suppose it's in bookstores and Amazon. Get it from Parthenon directly. But yeah, so I'm just gonna, and by the way, my wife told me I do too much talking on this podcast. And so I am definitely gonna just mute back into the background. And I think they said I talk too much as well. So,
Okay, you're making us sound mean.
well, you probably just know entertainment better than I do. I don't know. But
Well, anyways, as someone who hasn't gotten a chance to read your book yet, so is it mostly about your experience playing with the orchestra or just your whole life or so what?
yes.
Okay.
Well, let's go with Jefferson was going somewhere with this Greece thing.
So you lived in Greece for a time?
Jefferson, did you have a question about the
Well,
Greece?
the fact that before you even arrived in Greece, you started to write some of your first songs, which was pretty amazing. So let kind of give our listeners an idea of how that trip went.
Well,
Not giving too much away from the book.
I was living in New Jersey. I was like 10 years old, fifth grade, and my dad got overseas assignment in Athens. And so to make it an easier transition, his company put us on a boat in November. It was an ocean liner, Italian ocean liner, but it was 22,000 tons. And any of those boats you see in the Caribbean with all the ramps and the fun and all that stuff, those are about 120,000 tons. So this it was an ocean liner. And there's an observation deck up on the top, and something about being alone there with my thoughts as a thoughtful 10-year-old and being a fan of music, because this was 1966. So the Beatles had been around for 2.5 years or whatever in the States, and I was in the British invasion and all, Kinks and Dave Clark Five and Motown and everything. So music was really a powerful thing in my life already. But I started hearing songs in my head up in that lounge, and I started writing down the lyrics. They had free stationery and pens and pencils, and I thought, oh, this is great. And so I wrote down the words just to remember. I didn't know what chords were. I had a guitar, but I didn't know how to play it. And I didn't have it on the boat. But I just had to remember them in my head. And I was amazed that I was hearing music in my head that I'd never heard before that I was kind of controlling. That was really cool.
And you remembered, you got the words, the music. Did you remember these? Did you almost commit them to memory by the time you did learn guitar?
I still know them. I mean,
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's okay, hold on.
Oh,
Oh, we're gonna get a
I wasn't
performance.
prepared for this, but let me see. The night I left her was sad. The night I left her was bad. That night I left her in the dark. It was just like Noah's Ark. You leave the people behind.
Love it. I just can see the theme of being on a boat.
Yeah, so like your brothers asked, why did you not turn on the light?
Yeah, I left her in the dark, and they said, "What was the problem? Why couldn't she? Was she in the basement?" But I realized that the night I left her is. It only occurred to me while I was writing the book. I was leaving all my friends behind in New Jersey. And it was like, oh, maybe, no wonder I was singing about that. I turned it into a boy-girl thing because that's what songs are.
Well, McCartney's first song was I Lost My Little Girl.
Well, there you go.
Well, it was probably about the same time he lost his mom.
Yeah, it was about his mom.
Well, great example.
Wow. That's pretty fascinating. I had a song in my head when I was about six, And I was sitting in the barber's chair, and I always thought the guy who cut my hair looked like Elvis. So when I got home, I sort of felt like, wow, man, this is kind of neat that, this Elvis looking guy cuts my hair. Of course, back then I still had a crew cut, and wasn't anywhere near Elvis or the, the mop tops. But see, that would have been seven. That would have been five. So that would have been 1960, early 1967. So I had a long
We
ways to
we
go.
had the we had the tiny little inch of hair in the front that they would use this stick that was called oh God, what was it called? It was some kind of pony,
Pre-bangs.
huh?
Pre-bangs.
God, yeah, it wasn't bangs. This was like a little thing. You just did like
Yeah.
that, and you were done. Everything else was shaved. And my
Yeah.
dad would cut our hair in the basement. It was, oh
Yeah.
boy.
Well, I still only have one line from my song, but it you've never heard this. This is new to the kids, but the song went, "It's a dream of another." And that's all I had, a dream of another.
You gotta work that in.
I
I've
had
had
a
my fair share.
dream, I had a dream, oh, a dream of another.
I've had my fair share of bad haircuts.
Yeah, we actually
Yeah.
came up with a little bit of a song on a walk today.
We were talking about the TV show Mad Men, and we were talking about the character Betty Draper, and I was saying, she has lots of reason to be mad, but it never seems to be for the right reasons. So Jeff,
I said you're reasonable, except you're, but it's always about, let's see, reasonable. You're not, when it's not about the reasonable things or something like that. And
yeah.
then I switched it around. But see, Lila is my muse. She's sort of like Ringo. She'll say something, and that's how we put songs together. So
You got to help your old
back
man
to you.
remember these things, girls.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because we can't remember anything now. Yeah,
Yeah, I try to write everything down, otherwise it's gone.
I did not.
You should.
Yeah,
I remember
absolutely.
everything but the important things.
Me too. Well, Parthenon, I did notice, moving a little ahead in the timeline, there was a part in the book where there was the, I guess your 1988 album, Sunny Nights.
Sunday nights on Columbia, yeah.
Yeah. There was a picture of a record in store at like Chapel Hill
Yeah.
Record Bar.
Yep.
Do you recognize some of the faces in the crowd? Because I do. I recognize three.
I think who was Wes Lachaud's friend, the late
Paul Price.
Paul Price was, I think. Yeah, he's in the picture, right?
Recognized him immediately. And then it looked like Robert Donin, Bobby D.
Bobby D. Yeah.
And I thought I saw Rod Abernathy from like a profile, a side
He
photo.
might have been in there. Let me see here.
Of course, Sherman might have been there. I don't know if Sherman was probably still
Well,
working
Sherman should
that
have been
day.
there, but he was probably hosting or taking care. There's a lot of people that they're from the back.
Yeah.
But I do see Paul Price for
Yeah.
sure.
I wonder if Pat
We're
Day.
talking about this picture where
That's the one. Yeah.
they did a
Yeah.
bunch of copies of the album and hung them in the store. It was
Yeah.
really cool. But
Yeah. In stores. Have we done
yeah,
anything like that?
we've played School Kids
We played
before.
School Kids, yeah, in Raleigh. But yeah, this was the Chapel Hill Record Bar, which I think is where Imbibe or Rougarou is now, or was it on the Franklin Street for, store? Do you remember?
Franklin Street, yeah.
Okay, so that was probably where an ice cream shop is now. They were originally on Henderson Street, then they moved over. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to slide back into the background. I'm actually a foot behind them, so I look much smaller than my kids.
Yeah.
So,
This little elf man
yeah.
in
Maybe
our
not quite a
band.
foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I was curious about your time in Greece. How did the Greek culture you lived among inspire your music?
Well, it was really an American culture. We were all, there was a really nice community of expatriates over there. We had a big, it's the American high school there was the biggest in Europe. It still wasn't that big. My senior graduating class was like 130, but the whole high school was probably 700 at its peak. And And we kind of stuck to ourselves. You know, there's a lot of Greek Americans, a lot of international kids from Australia, Norway, South Africa, that kind of thing. So we had a pretty American experience, but just flavored by the international teaching staff was different, and my friends were different. And but it turned out to be a really great place to go to school. And then there was also this place called the American Club, because Americans take care of their own. That used to be an old hotel, and it had a dining room, and it had a newsstand and a youth club. And the youth club was awesome. And I went down there the first time, like when I was 10, you know, and almost 11. And I saw that they had a little band room. They had a stage, like, you know, foot tall. And so bands would play, like real live bands, and I could go see them. Now, this was way better than New Jersey, which, you know, I was. And there were pool tables, ping pong tables, a jukebox. It was pretty cool. Now we did, you know, we went downtown, and we visited ancient sites all the time. But it wasn't like I was in a Greek school and learning a new language. I picked up street Greek, basically. I could order for us at a restaurant or get us on the right bus. That's about it. But we were all, you know, music was banned because the 7.5 out of the 8 years I was there, it was run by the military. There was a military coup, and they didn't like live music. So the Rolling Stones played at the end of 1966, and then starting in April 67, there were no bands for 7 years. And the first band back in Greece was Mungo Jerry. I don't know if you guys remember that
Yeah, they
band.
had that song
In
in
the
the
summertime.
summertime.
Yeah. In the summertime, when the weather is hot. Yeah, they were the first ones after the Rolling Stones 7 years earlier.
Wow. I don't know a lot of my 20th century Eastern European history, but I think I gotta read up on the youth center thing.
And then the when Woodstock movie came out in the early 70s, there was a riot because they so wanted to, you know, the Greek kids so wanted to see some live music, that they broke down the doors at the theater and to trying to get in. So it was, you know, back when music really mattered a lot.
How much longer after that did you meet Matt Barrett?
I think I met Matt in 68. I got there in late 66. I think he got there in 68. He'd been there like in 64, 63, somewhere in there, but he had gone back to Long Island. Then they came back again. And he knew some songs. He knew how to play Hey Jude, is the one I mentioned in the book, I think. And you know, we were in a band like when I was 11 or 12 and he was 14 or something, you know.
It's so special to be able to play with your peers because, other than Ella, up until pretty recently, I didn't really play music with anyone else my age. But in the past few years, I've started kind of venturing out and making new friends. And just the other day, actually, I was jamming with my friend Cleo, who is a bassist.
Yeah, the youth club that Lila goes to is in the basement of the post office on Franklin Street. So you know,
Yeah.
right across from
The I guess the quad on
well,
UNC where
across from where Hector's used to be.
where the rec yeah where the record bar across from where the record bar used to be.
That's
I
right.
think that's fantastic. I'm in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and my daughter plays guitar. She's 16, and you know, there's just not a lot of bands. There's not a lot of high school rock bands anymore. You know, it's just it's not part of the currency. And she's really good, and she knows some good players, but there's just not that impetus I think there was when we were kids. But yeah, definitely find people your own age and learn together, you know, so you're at the same pace and making that same progress. It can be really exciting, you know.
Right. Well, they were going, well, the plan was to ease me out of the little living room jams we had. And then Laura, of course, said, "Hey, a family band is okay." But yeah, I was really all about finding them a fellow teen to make this band that had no name at the
Well,
point.
it's the same problems we face. You know, got to find a good drummer and a good bass player, you
Exactly.
know.
Yeah, there's always one
Especially
guy
drummer.
older in the band than everybody else, and that's me, I guess.
You've gone from the young guy to the old guy. That's the circle of life.
Is Matt, does he have Greek ancestry, or is his Akonopoli a pseudonym like Parthenon?
No, Echinopoli is his real name.
Okay, well, how about that? I wasn't sure.
He took Barrett from Sid Barrett.
Okay, got it.
You
Well, now
mentioned
we know the real story.
You mentioned
So we're
Harry Potter, and I the other week I was listening to Thanks to Bethesda, and I don't remember what song it was, but it sounds like it might be your daughter when she was younger talking
Yeah.
at the beginning of what song? What song was that?
I think it was was it that song like
Yes, I think so.
I've been playing the show. Da, 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 maybe that one.
So,
And
yes.
she's on a couple of things actually. One when she's a baby, and then that one she said, "Daddy, Daddy, when are you going on your trip this weekend?" Is that what you heard?
Who
Is that what
said, let's start with that C chord on Sunday nights?
that was me. Let's start on that C chord.
It sounded a lot like Walter Brennan to my ears. Is that what you're shooting for?
Well, yeah, I got the suspenders, the Walter Brennan suspenders. Yeah. Yeah, ladies, goddamn whippersnapper.
You're speaking of voices and characters, your video show, the year one of the pandemic, was must-see television. In fact, I can't believe it's been 5 years, but how many episodes did you do? Because I think I'm going to binge watch them all.
I did 10,
Oh, man, yeah.
and I thought that was a pretty hefty number because I was doing the whole thing on my phone. Like I would have to film, like I'd sit in a chair, film a set, like welcome to the show, and then I'd have to go look and see if my head was cut off because the, the backside of the phone doesn't look very good, right? So it was so much work, but other than writing this book, I wasn't doing, it wasn't exactly busy,
Well, you're highly entertaining, and I know some people don't like when I say these things, but there's something about you and your sense of timing, the way you tell a joke. And even though this person is a woman, what was her name? Jane Lynch.
Jane
Jane
Lynch.
Lynch. You and Jane Lynch could be separated at birth. You might even be the same age. Yeah, everything I see here, and I just laugh and laugh. And you've got that same kind of comedic
I think
thing.
by the third one I figured out it started to look better. Like in the first one I didn't know you could move titles around. So it was like on my face and
And you have Don Dixon on there doing Alan Cox Allen.
Alan Cox Allen, the rock gossip, you got to have him on. So I'd bug him to do something. I never knew what he was going to do. I think the first one I suggested something. But yeah, they were really fun to do. But man, after 10 of them, it was like, okay.
We felt the same way. I mean, we did everything ourselves. We did all this post-production stuff like you did. Lila did a 1 minute movie every week, and they were really good.
Up
But
until the end.
well, she thinks so. I think they were all great. And of course, Ella helped with those. But yeah, just getting all the video stuff. We tried to have a little laughter in it, some music. We did this thing called I Want My Daddy's Records, which we just grabbed a bunch of random out of alphabetical order albums and talked about them. And like, whose is this? Because, our albums and where they came from is of unknown, provenance.
Nice archival word there. Nice archival term there.
Is that how you use Ella is studying history at NC Central, so
Provenance.
So he knows what he's doing.
I learned from them. I last time I saw you was about maybe not quite 3 years ago. You played at Cat's Cradle, and if that's still the same band you have, that was probably one of the best live bands I saw that year, if not the best.
Oh, thanks, man.
Are they still with you?
Yeah, that's my band. We don't play as often as I'd like, but when we do, I mean, they're just fantastic. One of the blessings of being older is we're all good at what we do. We're kind of better than we ever have been. And communication's really fast, and I don't have to explain anything. And basically, once I outline a song for these guys, they just do their thing on it, and I like what they do. So it's Yeah, they're super talented. I mean, the keyboard player Dan Clark plays with K.D. Lang and War on Drugs and stuff like that. Millions of bands. Ryan Adams. And Ricky and Dave, the drummer and bass player, are just tremendous. So it's a real pleasure. We're playing May 24th up here.
Yeah.
And I'm looking
Everybody
forward to it.
sings, right? Everybody was contributing to the harmonies.
Yep. It's, I mean, you're lucky if you get two singers, and when the whole band sings, it's
Yeah.
amazing.
Well,
Yeah.
it's like when you were with Rusty Anderson, right? He could do it all as well, right?
Rusty could definitely do it all on guitar. I don't think I bugged him too much about singing. He did some, and I had Jennifer Condos on bass, and she would sing. But I think this current band, this Maryland band, is the best singing band I've ever had. I mean, I feel like I'm the third best singer in the band, you know.
They don't probably know this, that Rusty is in Paul McCartney's band, and he's been there for about, what, 12, 15 years or
I
something?
actually
Nope,
didn't even
22
put that
years.
on my notes.
How long?
About 22 or three.
My Lord, that's longer than Denny Lane.
Yeah, we
He's
saw
been,
him. We went in
he's,
what, 2023 to see him?
yeah.
Yeah, me and Lila went to see Paul in 2023 and we saw him.
Yeah, he's been with Paul for a quarter of Paul's life or more. It's insane.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know.
Yeah. Well,
It's
tell us
nuts.
about the orchestra, ELL2, and how that came about. I've been watching some video. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to see you, but the book is, I have to say, your storytelling again. You've got such a sharp wit that I'm reading at 3 a.m., which is my normal time to do this, and I'm next to my wife, and I'm just suppressing laughter to keep my wife from waking up and being irritated. But I
Nice,
think
man.
The
Good.
Boss of Water comes to mind.
Yeah, true story. Oh my God.
Kiev.
Yeah. And, well, I got a call, like I said, it's from the beginning of the book. I got a call out of the blue to audition for those guys and ELO Part Two, and I got the job. And we started. My first tour was South America. We did Eastern Europe. We did 21 shows in England. It was just like a whole new world for me because, I think the only European tour I'd ever done was with Dixon, like for 2 weeks or something. And suddenly I was flying to South America and places I knew I'd never otherwise would have gone, And we've played news. There's a part in the book, there's 40 countries listed on, in the appendix about where we've gone, like New Zealand and El Salvador. I mean, just crazy. And there's the catalog is so good. The ELO catalog is great, and it's known all around the world, so.
No, it's a true unifier, I think. Do you have a favorite country you've played in?
New Zealand, I always wanted to go there just because it's really nice to see something that's, not destroyed yet. And it's just a beautiful, it's like Scotland in the South Pacific. I mean, it's incredible. The thermal power coming out of the ground, there's fjords, there's waterfalls, snow-capped mountains. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And there's only like, 12 people there. I mean, it's like, I think there's maybe 2 million, 4 million. I mean, that's not that many.
Yeah.
So that was a dream come true. I'd always wanted to see it, and I said, "How am I going to get to New Zealand?" And then we played three festivals. There were like 15,000 people at each show. It was amazing, and we had Alanis Morissette on the bill and Colin Hay from Men at Work. It was really nice. Really, it was great. There's a lot of good places. I mean, there's every place has its thing, Like El Salvador, you get off the plane, it smells like bananas. It's
I was
like, oh yeah, that's nice.
actually going to ask the same question Ella had, so I'll change it up a bit. Do you have a favorite place in the States that you've played?
Believe it or not, the first one that comes to mind is Disney World.
Oh,
Really?
wow.
Yeah, and it's not, obviously, we're too old to be cool or hip or anything like that, so that's out of the question. But we're treated so well. We stay on the property at this really nice hotel. The rooms are big enough. I can invite my wife and two daughters to come down. So they've been going to Disney World for like 11 straight years. We play there every year. The guy who books the place says, "You're my favorite band." And we say, "Oh, that's nice. Thanks." And he goes, "No, I tell all the other bands you're my favorite band." And they treat us really well. There's like, 12 stage hands. We have so much help, and it's an outdoor amphitheater. It's a really beautiful setting. And I'm one of the few people that goes to Disney World and comes home with more money than I went there with, you know.
Yeah.
So
So do the stagehands dress as Disney characters
they do
or?
not, but that would be fun.
Yeah,
No,
maybe Neil Young had
Goofy is not setting up my mic.
the Ewoks or whatever. Yeah, you never saw that? It's
No.
Rest Never Sleeps movie. You'll enjoy it.
Okay,
Yeah.
I gotta check this out.
But
Yeah.
there's some venues that treat us really well. There's a place called the State Theater in Easton, Pennsylvania, that loves us and brings us back as often as possible. And there's a lot of nice old theaters, and we've played some nice outdoor festivals and stuff. But Disney World is really, it's really a nice experience.
We've never been before. Jeff is probably the biggest Disney fan out of all of us by far, so
Yeah.
yeah, I actually watch Spin and Marty and all those old shows on the Mickey Mouse Club, things that
Well,
are like
in the spring and fall, they have bands every weekend.
Oh.
So, I
Yeah.
mean, it's like a choice of like, there's like 30 bands you could, and if there's one that, say, oh, like we're playing there, I think, first weekend of April.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of bands that play down there. It's not cheap, it's not free.
Yeah. Yeah,
Well,
that's
once
how
you're in the property, actually, it is free. But
the Osmonds got discovered, was playing at Disney in California.
well, Disney's a pipeline for the young kids who start there singing there at 10 or 11, like Britney and
Yeah, yeah.
Christina Aguilera. They're all Disney kids. Timberlake,
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all Disney pipeline kids, who are super talented when they're 10, like.
He's turned out to be a pretty decent actor. I've liked him in almost everything I've seen him in.
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, he was in that movie that was sort of roughly based on Dylan in the
Oh, Inside Llewyn Davis.
yeah.
Clearly, you haven't seen Trolls. Oh my
Oh,
God.
okay.
I haven't either. I'm just making it up.
Well, you have another question because I have a follow-up.
Oh, it's not really a question. I was just gonna say this has been bothering me this whole time. He must have fallen while we were setting the computer up. Jeff has a little Tony Soprano figure who fell over and was just on the floor. Are
Yeah.
you a Sopranos fan?
Well, yeah.
Who isn't?
Or
Like,
else, being
and
from New
if
Jersey.
what's really sucks is if I'm on Instagram and just scrolling for no reason and I come up and how they've got all the Soprano stuff on there now?
Yeah.
They'll have like a 6-minute scene and like I can't look away. It's just like, oh God, this is when Junior,
Yeah.
Yeah. What was my question that came to mind was, what was your favorite memory of playing music in North Carolina in the time you were here? Because I know you had were in probably three different bands, four different bands.
Rick Rock was pretty exciting, when I was because there was the Blazers and the Dads and Rick Rock and then me and Dixon. That's basically the four that had a sustained kind of thing. Rick Rock was after I'd been in a couple of democracies, I decided I wanted to be a benign dictator and just, play with a drummer and bass player who weren't writers, so I could be the song pig.
Yeah.
And I was 26 years old. I was on fire with writing songs, just writing a song a day, basically. And we rehearsed for 9 months before we played anywhere, before anybody saw us. So we came out on fire, totally. We were prepared, and it was the Mondo Montage live show for the release of the album. And we were headliners, and we had never played before.
Yeah, I remember you just coming out of nowhere around that time. It's like Rick Rock. And were you also writing for The Spectator then a little bit?
Yeah, I wrote for The Spectator from 80 to 86. Godfrey, there was a he asked a bunch of musicians to turn in a story about albums that didn't get enough attention, and I did all three of Dwight Twilley's albums at that time.
Oh, right.
And then Godfrey Cheshire, called up and said, "Hey, you want to be our music critic?" And so I for 6 years I didn't have to pay to get in anywhere.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That was
Anytime you
nice.
bring up stuff, especially with you and I being around for quite a bit in all these years, just about any reference you make, there's like about one step removed because you mentioned Dwight Twilley and Susan Cale dated him for maybe a lot of the 80s, maybe, or some of the 90s, and sang in his band. And John Cale was the drummer. But the Cale are probably going to be our next guest after you on this
Oh,
show.
cool.
Yeah, I've been in touch with Susan and Bob.
Yeah, I did a show with the Cowsill family. Maybe, God, COVID ruined everything. I don't know, 5, 10 years ago, there was this old fashioned show in at the Carl Perkins Arena in Jackson, Tennessee, sponsored by this radio station, and it was like Cavalcade of Stars. It was like, yeah, everybody gets 5 songs. So we had the singer from the Raiders. Not Mark Lindsey, but this guy who'd been in the Raiders longer than Mark Lindsey. We had the Cowsills. We had Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night. I did 4 or 5 ELO songs, and so I got to hang out with the Cowsills a little bit. I think there were 3 of them there
That's
that.
right. And that's still how they tour.
Okay.
And they're on the Happy Together tour. And they do some acoustic trios
Yeah,
there.
we've never been on that boat with them. We should be, but
I think they play a 70s cruise, a 60s cruise. There's one other cruise, and then they do the they're cruising in on a lot of package shows. But I think there are a few shows where Susan's husband Russ is on drums, and I think maybe one of Paul's kids and one of Bob's kids are in the band. So it's
Oh,
actually
that's cool.
mostly Cowsill relatives now,
You know,
or old
I
names.
should say that we love playing the boats too. We're doing the Rock and Romance cruise this spring, and then we're going to do On the Blue in the fall. And the cruises are awesome because we never get to see other bands unless we're on, one of these Parade of Stars things, or but normally, we play a night, we're gone, another band comes through, we don't cross paths. But on the boat for like a week, there's a singer of the Zombies, getting doing the breakfast buffet. And it's just, there's, Peter Frampton. I mean, it's just like, I've met all my heroes, but they're all in their late 60s or 70s. It's like Mark Farner and Mark Ans from Spirit and Firefall and Heart. And just all these guys I've followed since I was a kid. It's like they're all there on the boat. It's
That's
awesome.
great.
And they sound great. Like we had Wishbone Ash on one of these boats,
Well, I'm
Tremendous.
going to have to now this is on the orchestra's webpage that says where you're going to be doing these things.
Some of those aren't announced yet,
We'll keep a
except
lid
right
on it.
here.
Okay. Well, we're going to draw to a close. Son, do you have a question?
I was just gonna say, I wish I could have met my music hero, but my music hero died before he was my music hero. So,
Your dad.
well, my dad and well, my dad has always been my music hero. I was gonna say Levon Helm.
Yeah,
Well,
that's
he
your
had a
Levon's
washboard.
your music hero. Wow, that's incredible.
They have a washboard that Levon signed for their dad. And it's in the
I
this
think
is the music room. You can't really tell right now, but we're in
yeah,
Secret
that's
Monkey
true.
headquarters. Behind this, this curtain is the music room, but in the
Well, you know
den,
what? I
washboard.
would highly recommend Robbie Robertson's book.
Yes.
I've read it. It's beautiful.
It's
Just loaned
really
it.
great. And his whole thing of going from Canada, down to Arkansas and meeting Levon. I mean, that whole, it's like, man, nobody else had this path. It's just crazy. And his affection for Levon is palpable. And it's really good. He's a good writer, assuming he wrote
We're
it, but.
influenced by the band for sure. We used to do we even when we were just learning, we were doing "Don't Do It," the Marvin Gaye song that the band did, and we did what up on
Cripple
Cripple Creek,
Creek, Shape I'm In,
"Shape
Shape
I'm
I'm
In,"
In.
We probably should work those back in. And of course, our dog Chester is a band reference. So,
Crazy Chester, yeah. Oh,
Chester.
and my cat, I named my cat Evangeline after the last song in the last waltz.
Oh, okay.
So
Who would have thought it?
very
They're
nice. Band influence family.
I guess one more thing I want to mention before we draw it to a close was you mentioned
I'm sorry, go
Jim
ahead.
Dix. That's right. That's the book, Electric Light Odyssey.
On Amazon or ParthenonHuxley.com.
It's been out about a month, right?
Yeah.
Are you pointing to the
The
link?
book,
Okay. Me and Dixon, that was you, Don Dixon, and Rob Ladd, right?
Right.
Well, Lila has used Rob's drums how many times now?
I think just maybe once or
Okay.
maybe twice, but I really loved his kit and it inspired me to get like my new kit.
Yeah, she wanted one like Rob Ladd, so that's where we got to a local shop that had a DW kit like Rob plays. But yeah, we opened for the Connells once, and then at Cat's Cradle at the Be Loud Sophie. I think you might have played his kit then too. Yeah, I keep forgetting how young he was when he played back then. I think he's roughly my age, but I mean that's I just looked back and went, man, that's Rob Ladd. And because those guys were in high school when they were playing with the Pressure Boys, I think. So they were kind of doing what you kids were doing. Yeah, Rob Ladd. Well, anyway, that's our love for Rob today and our love for Parthenon. And man, so happy to have you. And if you ever decide you want to come to Cat's Cradle, connect with me. And I know you can get the show on your own, but we will work with Frank to make it happen too. And we'd be happy to be the warm up. You know, we'll play 20 minutes and turn over the whole night to
And we'd love to have you on the podcast again. I know there's a lot more questions I'd like to ask.
Yeah, I need
Okay.
a whole page of questions.
Yeah, maybe people can submit their questions when this hits YouTube, you know. I'll send the link to you.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Well,
Absolutely.
it's a treat. I was up late at night thinking about what I wanted to ask, and I think I hit most of the points. And I don't know. I'm so happy these kids get to, be introduced and get interact with people that I've always admired. And you're definitely one of them.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you guys, you should read the book if you get a chance. It's, it's a fun, fast read, really. Not too ponderous. And there's just tons of stories. It's just stories. That's how musicians get paid. Stories.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, L Ella is the probably the biggest reader. I'm the slowest reader, but I make sure that what I read is quality.
Yeah.
How many books did you read last year? This blew my mind.
123.
Jeez. Oh
I
my
read a lot.
goodness. I haven't read that many in my life,
That's
Parthenon.
awesome. I what kind of stuff do you like? What kind of books do you like?
Oh God, I'm all over the place. I mean, I love my rock biographies. I read a lot of horror. I read a lot of history for my degree. So
Yeah,
those are probably
yeah.
the biggest three.
Yeah. I always
Yeah,
sit next to her at trivia night.
I've got a probably four shelves of music bios and music books and stuff. I really like the stories, and they're not all great, but a lot of them are. Tom Jones's book is awesome.
Ooh, interesting.
Really good. Really good. His story's amazing.
Yeah.
That is not who I would have guessed had I
I
read
know,
the report.
but it seriously, check it out. I think it's called Over the Top and Back or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
We'll have Ella read it and then relate it to us, so we don't have
And then she can
to.
write questions for you to ask. Yeah, okay.
I'll create a book report. At
Yeah.
first, I was thinking Albert Finney as Tom
Yeah.
Jones, not
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
No.
Ella will be our cliff notes from now on.
There
So,
you go.
but I'll
Yeah.
make, yeah, they're definitely going to read your book. I read it at night. I read it bedtime. So that kind of explains why it's a little slow for me because I get rather
I'm
sleepy.
the same. I read 7 pages not often, and the next night I go back about 3 pages so to catch up with what I
Yeah.
remember. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice way to wind down. Well, thanks so much. This has
Thank
been
you.
our pleasure and wish you luck with the book and live and everything else you do.
Thanks so much. It's been my pleasure as well, and hope to see you guys again soon.
Super. Take
Yeah.
care.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
There we go.